Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
A plane makes an emergency landing at RDU. What caused the diversion?
Well, Storm Franklin has made landfall here in Hispaniola. As it moves northward, it will pass by North Carolina. I'll show you what our impacts will be and how strong the storm will get.
And tens of thousands of students across the viewing area will return to class in just a few days. Most will ride school buses. The surprising new findings from a survey on school bus safety.
And a new park decades in the making with centuries of meaning opens in Raleigh. We'll have a first look just ahead.
We begin with that breaking news this noon at RDU International Airport, where a plane was diverted just a short time ago. Good afternoon to you. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Renee Chu. Thanks for joining us. Michelle McConaughey is in the WRAL Live Center with what the airport says happened. Michelle.
Yeah, guys, an American Airlines flight had to make an emergency landing this morning at RDU. We're learning because of a possible mechanical issue. We do have video from RDU from earlier this morning. Flight 1787 left Washington, D.C. It was going to Orlando, but at 9:53 this morning, the flight was experiencing some mechanical issues, so it did have to land at RDU. American Airlines said the flight did land safely. All passengers are safe. They said, we apologize to customers and thank them for their patience as we work to get them on their way. Again, everybody's safe because of this mechanical issue.
Good to hear that, Michelle. Thank you. Tropical Storm Franklin made landfall this morning on the Caribbean island of Hispaniola. The storm will bring heavy rain and flooding there for the rest of the day today. It will lead to the potential for flooding and mudslides. This was what it looked like this morning as the storm approached Santo Domingo. Elizabeth Gardner is in the WRAL Severe Weather Center with a look at why the storm may have impacts for North Carolina's coast.
Well, let's take a look at this storm right now. It is over Hispaniola. Of course, we have the Dominican Republic here in the east and Haiti in the west. Right in the middle of this island is where the heaviest rain is going to be, probably 5 to 10 inches of rain. So they're likely to have some flooding and mudslides here. It's moving north at 13 with 40 mile per hour winds. And it is weakened now as it's moved over land. Of course, it interacts with the land, the friction, and the winds tend to slow down. So it'll be back down to 45 miles per hour for a bit, but up to 65 miles per hour by Friday morning. And by Saturday morning, maybe a hurricane. It makes a little bit of a jog out here in the Atlantic and then ends up shifting a little bit farther to the west toward the United States. But none of the models bring it on shore in North Carolina. It does strengthen, though, to a Category 2 potentially by 8 a.m. on Monday morning as it moves past Bermuda, which is right there. We take a look at where the storm is headed on our computer model, and you can see from where it is, it takes that jog, but then moves fairly close to Bermuda. That's going to be hundreds of miles off the coast of North Carolina. Still, it is likely to produce high rip current danger, and of course, that may start at the end of the weekend and linger into the middle of next week. A lot of people will be at the beach ahead of Labor Day weekend, so you need to be very careful if you're headed to the coast. There may also be some erosion and possibly some overwash on Highway 12, depending on how close the center of circulation comes to the coast of North Carolina. So we have a good time to watch this and see where it's headed. But all the models that we've seen so far do keep it offshore.
Thanks, Elizabeth. It took nearly a quarter of a century, but North Carolina's Freedom Park is now open. The park commemorates the centuries-long fight for freedom by and for Black North Carolinians. WRAL's Eric Miller was there as the ribbon was cut just over an hour ago. And Eric, is that celebration still going?
Well, Jeff, yes, it is. You can probably still hear some of the music in the background as folks are coming out here, getting their very first look at Freedom Park. Of course, everything here is imbued with so much meaning. The walls here, the color of North Carolina clay, and they are stamped with quotes, with sayings, with expressions that run from the abolitionist movement to the civil rights movement and beyond, all speaking to the Black experience in North Carolina. And of course, here in the very center of the park, there's the Beacon of Freedom, which will be lit later tonight. Now, the idea for this park, it goes back to the year 2000, and it has taken decades of planning, of pushing, of work to try to make this day a reality. Speaking at the grand opening about an hour ago, Governor Cooper says that he hopes that everyone who walks through this space, from school children to activists to just folks out for a walk, that they are inspired by this new space in the state capitol.
They will step into a garden that displays the brutal truth and extraordinary accomplishments found in Black history.
To your children.
Now, of course, this new park sits right in between the governor's mansion and the legislative building, right off East Lane Street and North Wilmington Street. And it's already serving as a draw. So many people coming through, walking through today. We've been talking to a lot of them. We'll have their stories and experiences coming up this afternoon. Jeff?
A celebration, but recognition. Years in the making. Eric Miller live in Raleigh for us. Eric, thanks.
And happening right now in the WREL Live Center, some big news coming out of South Carolina this afternoon. Their Supreme Court reversed course on their abortion ruling today. They decided to uphold the ban, which is after six weeks of pregnancy. Now, the ruling departs from the court's own decision earlier this year to strike down a similar law. But Justice John Kittredge said that the law infringes on a woman's right of privacy and bodily autonomy, but said the state legislature reasonably determined that those interests do not outweigh the interest of the unborn child to live. Now, since the U.S. Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade, most GOP-controlled states have enacted or adopted some form of abortion bans of some kind.
Michelle, thanks. You're looking live right now at Milwaukee, Wisconsin, where eight candidates are expected to take the stage tonight for 2 hours for the first Republican presidential debate for the 2024 election. Former President Donald Trump, who is polling the highest, will not be in Wisconsin. Instead, he's preparing to surrender tomorrow at a jail in Georgia on election meddling charges. NBC's Garrett Hake explains how Trump's presence will still be felt at the debate.
For the Republican candidates not named Donald Trump, tonight will be the biggest night of the presidential campaign so far. Eight candidates expected to be on stage, with millions of viewers turning in from around the country. The candidates trying to distinguish themselves from each other and from the former president, who has been dominating this race from the jump. Now, at center stage tonight will be the two highest polling candidates in attendance, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis and entrepreneur Vivek Ramaswamy. Expectations for them will be high. They could potentially have a breakout moment tonight. They could also potentially face a lot of attacks from the lower polling candidates in the wings who need to go through them to try to become the alternative to Donald Trump. Now, Trump will not be on stage, but his presence will certainly be felt here in Milwaukee. He's got surrogates and staffers all over this town today talking to reporters. And of course, he's releasing an interview tonight at the same time that this debate goes live. But really, it's his legal troubles that will likely come up on the debate stage and then potentially squash any headlines that come out of this debate tomorrow. The former president expected to turn himself in to face charges in Georgia. Just another sign of how big the Donald Trump presence is in this Republican field, even when he doesn't show up.
And that was Garrett Hake reporting. Instead of taking part in the debate, Trump recorded an interview with former Fox News anchor Tucker Carlson. The Washington Post is reporting that interview will go live tonight on the social media platform X, what used to be Twitter.
This morning, we received new numbers from the latest NBC News Des Moines Register MediaCom poll. It measured seven different issues among the GOP electorate in Iowa. And here's one to consider ahead of tonight's Republican presidential debate. More than half of likely GOP caucusgoers in Iowa say they're less likely to vote for candidates who aggressively criticize former President Donald Trump over the multiple criminal charges he's facing. Former Trump advisor Rudy Giuliani has landed in Georgia to surrender to authorities. This comes after he was named in a multi-count indictment related to former President Trump's alleged attempt to overturn the results of the 2020 election in that state. Giuliani will meet with Fulton County D.A. Fonnie Willis later in the day to discuss a bond agreement.
Students and their families are getting ready to go back to school next week. And a new survey shows many drivers need to brush up on how they treat school zones. WRL's Brian Schrader joining us now with the eye-opening numbers. Brian.
Yeah, AAA released this new survey of 400 North Carolina drivers, and the results are pretty startling. Take a look at this. 47% of those polled admitted to speeding in an active school zone. And almost a third of drivers said they use their handheld cell phone while driving through an active school zone. AAA says it's a reminder to slow down and pay attention, especially around those school zones and bus stops. And speaking of buses, that survey showed that 23% of North Carolina drivers are only somewhat or not at all confident about what they're supposed to do when they pass a school bus with that stop arm extended. Remember this rule of thumb. all directions of traffic have to stop unless you're on a divided highway. And 13% of drivers in that poll admit they have driven around a stop bus, Renee.
Please, drivers, pay attention and slow down. Brian, thank you.
Next at noon, a strange crime. A spear sailed through the windshield of a car in San Antonio, Texas. A woman saved by the steering wheel. Now the search for who did this.
Also, India joins the space race by landing on the moon. Why the part of the lunar surface where it landed is so important.
Plus, an event to get Durham teachers and staff motivated for the new school year. The atmosphere at the first kickoff ceremony like this in 5 years.
Download the new WRAL streaming apps on Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, and Android TV.
India has landed its spacecraft on the moon, becoming the fourth country ever to touch down on the lunar surface. Until today, only the U.S., the former Soviet Union, and China had completed such a mission. Caroline Shively reports, India's landing is also closer to the moon's south pole than any other spacecraft.
This control room in India burst into applause as the Chandrayaan-3 unmanned lunar module landed on the moon Wednesday morning.
The hard work of the entire ISRO community has come to fruition.
It was a major milestone for the country's burgeoning space program, just one of many missions they're planning in the coming decades.
We will be now looking at putting the man in space, putting a spacecraft around Venus, and landing a craft in Mars.
This follows Saturday's crash of a Russian unmanned spacecraft on the moon, which had taken off to much fanfare, an embarrassment for the program that launched the first satellite into orbit. Although even failure has its plus side, unmanned crashes can reveal software problems or design flaws and even expose deeper parts of the lunar surface to be explored by future missions. The competition for manned and unmanned missions to the moon is heating up between governments and now private entities. The U.S. has a number of private companies getting into the game, including Blue Origin and SpaceX. And India is now opening up its space program to private investors.
This success belongs to all of humanity.
And that was Caroline Shively reporting. Chandrayaan, by the way, means mooncraft in Sanskrit. India's prime minister, as you heard, calls the mission a success shared by all of humanity.
The secretary of the Smithsonian Institute is apologizing for its tens of thousands of human body parts. This apology comes after the Washington Post reported on the remains at the Natural History Museum. Most of them are from Black and Indigenous people and were taken without their family's consent. Anthropologists gathered many of them for debunked theories that white people were superior to people of color. The Smithsonian now has a policy of returning unethically acquired remains. Newly released body camera video shows officers rescuing a woman they found chained inside a Louisville home. The officers were called to the home after some reported hearing a woman screaming for help. They couldn't get inside because the door was barricaded. Neighbors brought a ladder so they could reach the window on the second floor. And that's where they found the woman with a chain around her neck and a padlock. The chain was attached to the floor. Officers used an axe to break the chain and remove it. Police arrested a 36-year-old man a few days later. He faces numerous charges.
Police in San Antonio, Texas are searching for the person they say is targeting drivers. A mother was driving to her friend's house when suddenly a spear came crashing through her windshield. That's right, a 5-foot-long hunting tool. It pierced through the passenger side and lodged into the steering wheel. She recorded video as police collected evidence. The driver has no idea who would do such a thing.
It was not, you know, road rage or anything. This was unprovoked and just completely random.
The startling attack wasn't exactly pain-free. The woman will have to pay $400 to repair the damage to her car.
A church congregation in Hawaii is doing all it can to help the victims of the disastrous wildfires there. Every spare room at King's Cathedral is now a storage site with piles of donations for fire victims. The church lost its Lahaina location in the fire. While many of them are still grieving, some are trying to be of service to others in the community.
My parents' home burned to the ground. My sister's home burned to the ground. My niece's house burned to the ground. Yeah, I work here as receiving, and I can't believe how many truckloads and, you know, and helicopters we had to come here, you know, dropping off things.
The Hungarian government flew dozens of mobile homes on a C-17 cargo plane to their location for free. Volunteers are trying to figure out how to assemble them. Organizers think the new village might be needed for 2 years. Right now, they aren't sure who will stay there. Tropical storm Franklin now is roaring towards the Dominican Republic, bringing fears of flooding and landslides. In Santo Domingo, the storm brought wind gusts up to 45 miles per hour. The tide was high in that area and strong waves pummeled the shore. 25 provinces are under a red alert for possible flooding of rivers, streams, and creeks. That is headed out into the Atlantic, but making a little bit of a turn towards us.
Yeah, and there could be some little impacts for North Carolina's coast, as Elizabeth talked about earlier. But today, no weather alerts, just enjoy this beautiful day alert, Elizabeth.
It is. And you know, it is August the 23rd. So September is in sight. And actually, this 7-day forecast features more highs in the 80s than highs in the 90s. But still, the next couple of days are not going to be very comfortable. Plenty of people out there, though, here in Pinehurst, beautiful blue skies. It feels great outside. It is going to be warm. Right now, it's 81 in the triangle, but that dew point at 55 is not something that we normally see until maybe late September into October, so it feels phenomenal out there. We'll climb into the upper 80s for this afternoon, and we're going to see those bright skies for the rest of the day. We take a look at a beautiful sunset from yesterday, thanks to our weather watcher, this beautiful view of Lake Gaston here. Those colors are so pretty, aren't they? So thank you to Luanne Cartiano for sending us that. Taking a look outside, looking at 70s right now, 75 Roxborough and 77 South Hill, 83 in Fayetteville, 79 in Goldsboro, and 80 degrees in Southern Pines, so it feels wonderful right now. Our temperatures are anywhere from 8 to 12 degrees cooler than they were this time yesterday. That's a big drop. You know, yesterday was hot and sticky. We'll see 87 in Raleigh, 85 in Durham, and 88 in Fayetteville for this afternoon. Our humidity has dropped. You can see how clear things are looking over here. You look out into the Atlantic, and there's a lot of humidity there and a lot of moisture back to the west as well. The green shaded areas are where the humidity is high. So we keep this lovely air mass with us through tomorrow morning. But into the afternoon, that humidity, that moisture comes rushing back in. It's going to be pretty warm and sticky on Thursday, and even more so for Friday and Saturday. Now, Saturday night, we'll see a front that comes through. That's going to deliver a little bit better feel for Sunday and into next week. Today, feeling comfy, solidly in the 50s in terms of the dew point. But we're steamy again Thursday and Friday, and tropical on Saturday, which is the highest level. So today, feeling nice with temperatures in the mid to upper 80s and no heat index. Tomorrow, 93, but it'll feel like 95. And Friday, 99, but feeling like 104 or hotter. And a 105 or hotter would be a heat advisory. And most likely we'll see a heat advisory for Friday. As a matter of fact, we could tie or break the previous record high in Raleigh, which was set back in 2007. Fayetteville, same thing. A high of 100. The previous record was 100 in Fayetteville. On Friday, we also have the chance of some severe storms. It looks like it would be late in the evening, mainly near the Virginia line, as we have system that approaches late in the day. Damaging wind would be our biggest threat from that. And so we'll take a look here starting in the morning. There could be an isolated shower. Notice that right around lunchtime. And then we'll have the potential for that front to come through pretty late in the day. There's 7-8 o'clock, but you can see some of those darker colors. We'll be watching for a threat for severe storms then. So pleasant today, very hot on Friday with a chance of severe storms later in the day. We'll talk more about the front that'll bring us some more pleasant conditions for next week, and another look at the tropics coming up.
Elizabeth, thanks. Students at UNC are back on campus, and K-12 students head back to school next week, just as Chapel Hill announces a number of roadwork projects. Today at 4, WRL looks at the detour frustrations as more people return to their commute and the best ways to help you get around town.
How is ChatGPT being used in your child's school? Five on Your Side found out which districts are embracing AI and which are shutting it out. That's tonight at 5:30. Still ahead this noon, Amazon is requiring some remote employees to relocate for work. Still to come, where many workers will find their new office.
Plus, it's no secret that money is a major factor for workers to switch jobs. Ahead, the new salary people expect to earn at minimum if they're going to give up their current job. Homebuyers are doing without dining rooms as houses shrink in size. And the price of bacon is going up. Those are among today's business headlines with Maribel Aver.
Get ready for a big jump in bacon prices. That's because pork belly prices are up more than 100% this year to a near record high. The sharp jump is partly due to a new California law requiring hog farmers to upgrade housing for breeding pigs. And a spike in demand for bacon at this time of year is also fueling the surge in pork belly prices. August is known as BLT season, as the sandwich proves more popular while the tomato crop is being harvested. The Teamsters say UPS workers have ratified their new contract with the shipping giant. The $30 billion deal between union members and UPS covers about 330,000 drivers and package sorters. By the end of the five-year contract, the average UPS driver will earn $170,000 a year in pay and benefits. New part-time workers will get $21 an hour, up more than $5 over the current pay. And existing UPS employees will see pay bumped up by $7.50 an hour over the life of the contract. Who needs a dining room? New homes are shrinking as cash-conscious buyers snap up smaller houses. The average size of a newly built house is down 10% to just over 2,400 square feet since 2018. That's according to data from Zonda Home. Smaller homes are popular with buyers facing high mortgage rates, according to the Wall Street Journal, and they also help builders dealing with soaring labor and construction costs. In many cases, the smaller homes get rid of dining areas and separate living rooms, but feature larger multi-purpose kitchens and great rooms. And those are your business headlines. I'm Maribel Aber at the NASDAQ market site.
Amazon is demanding that some corporate employees relocate to a central hub. Under Amazon's guidelines, remote workers are expected to move to a main hub in Seattle, New York, Austin, or Arlington, Virginia by the first half of next year. Several employees, though, are quitting rather than uprooting their family. Amazon says this affects a small percentage of the workforce, and the company does offer relocation benefits.
Salary demands are rising for workers on the job hunt. A survey from the Federal Reserve finds the average minimum salary Americans would entertain to switch jobs is over $78,000. That's an 8% increase from last year. Workers with a college degree expect a salary over $98,000 to change careers. Those without degrees desire a minimum of $63,000. Frontier Airlines is giving student loan borrowers a chance to win miles. The airline says it'll match miles for 100 people who owe student loans. Winners could get up to 100,000 miles if their loans add up to that amount. This promotion comes as paused student loan payments are set to restart next month. And applications for the sweepstakes will close this Sunday.
Excitement is in the air in Durham as thousands of educators and staff packed a stadium for this year's convocation. How organizers are trying to boost morale ahead of the new school year.
Plus, bring on the orange barrels, the road project designed to keep people safe and how long it'll last. And here are your winning lottery numbers from the NC Education Lottery.
Breaking right now in the WREL Live Center, we're following some breaking news out of Pittsburgh. There is an active shooter situation. NBC News does have two shots up of what is going on there. But here's what we know. Sheriff's deputies were involved in an active shootout in the city of Garfield. This is now a barricade situation. We've just learned with a male residents are being evacuated from the area in which this happened. Police were there to serve an eviction notice at a home, and that is when they approached the property. The occupant began to open fire. It turned into a large gunfight. Residents were saying that they were hearing hundreds of rounds fired. No police officers have been shot, but we have learned that one sheriff's deputy fell during an exchange of gunfire and he was hurt. Two police drones were actually sent up in the air to try and get a feel of the situation. They were both shot down, so they had to send up a third drone. But this is a very active situation right now. Again, no police officers have been shot. One sheriff's deputy was hurt. The man is now barricaded in the home. They're trying to get him out of that home, all while trying to evacuate people in their homes nearby. A very tense situation. I'm going to stay on top of this and bring you the latest from the live center.
You know, you'll be following those developments out of Pittsburgh. We are days away from the start of a new school year, and today an event is happening to help Durham teachers and staff get motivated. For the first time in 5 years, Durham Public Schools kicked off the school year with a convocation. WRL's Laura Levine was in the middle of the festive atmosphere inside Durham County Memorial Stadium. The cheerleaders, the band, and all the cheering. It feels like a football game with all the attention on the quarterbacks, or teachers, I should say, of Durham Public Schools.
I am overjoyed. This is an amazing feeling. When I got hired in DPS, it was by Zoom. And then to come in and be able to experience this 2 years later, it is phenomenal.
For the first time since 2018, DPS gathered educators and staff to ignite that passion and enthusiasm for a fresh start.
We motivate our students, but we also need to be motivated, right? And so we have a very difficult job. It's rewarding, but it's challenging.
And those challenges come along with the push for higher pay, ongoing teacher and bus driver vacancies as well.
We're still dealing with our teacher vacancies. Last year, around this time, we had about 250 vacant positions. But as of today, we only have 110.
Superintendent Dr. Pascal Mubinga tells me that averages about two vacant positions per school. He also touched on concerns about school safety.
We've been able to invest a lot of million dollars to really keep our buildings safe. And we have also strong law enforcement program with our SROs, and we're feeling really comfortable that our students are going to be safe.
The school system unveiled its new 5-year strategic plan today and goals ahead.
As a policymaker, that's really making sure our DPS policies align with their needs, but also advocating on a statewide level.
And as we know, school starts on Monday. Dr. Mubinga says he's really looking forward to when the budget passes and they're able to use more funding to support the DPS community and help it move forward. Laura Levine, WREL News in Durham. Love seeing that enthusiasm. Millbrook Magnet High School in Raleigh has a new bag policy for athletic events this school year. If you plan on watching sporting events at the school and you want to carry a bag, it needs to be clear. This applies to other school events as well, which students will be informed about ahead of time. The policy change comes after someone was caught on Millbrook's campus with a loaded AR-15 rifle at a basketball game. You can read more about the items you can and can't bring to Millbrook's campus on WRL.com.
Our county-by-county coverage takes us to Durham and Johnston counties. Happening today, leaders in Durham County are examining ways to reduce gun violence in the community. The Building a Safer Community Conference is happening today at the Durham Convention Center. Representatives from the fields of law enforcement, health and human services, housing and education will talk about strategies to tackle violence. Local and state government leaders will also be part of that conversation. A new outdoor fitness court in Selma is now open. A ribbon-cutting ceremony was held at 10 o'clock this morning on the grounds of the Richard B. Harrison Athletic Complex. The outdoor gym allows people to leverage their own body weight to get a complete workout using 7 stations. Looks pretty neat there. The town got a grant from the National Fitness Campaign for the project.
One of the most pivotal contamination stories in the U.S. is going on right here in our state. A facility in Fayetteville dumped toxic chemicals into the Cape Fear River, the drinking water supply for hundreds of thousands of people. These forever chemicals also contaminated the air and groundwater surrounding the plant. It's the subject of our latest WRL documentary premiering tonight. WRL investigative documentary reporter Kristen Severance co-reported on this important topic with Liz McLaughlin, WRL's reporter covering environmental issues. They spent months traveling to the contaminated areas and talking with people who use contaminated water every day. Forever chemicals are linked to health problems, including cancer, thyroid problems, and birth defects.
What kind of keeps you up at night when you think about people just drinking this?
I think about effects of PFAS exposure on babies and children and adolescents because they're not fully formed.
The chemicals, what are they doing to the kids?
You can watch Forever Chemicals, North Carolina's toxic tap water, tonight at 7:30 on WREL or on WREL.com. You can also watch it on the WREL Doc YouTube page at 8 p.m.
A new construction project is underway in Chapel Hill. It's designed to protect people at a dangerous intersection. Crews are working at the intersection of Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard and Estes Drive. It's expected to last several months. WREL's Kelsey Coffee explains how this will make walking and biking safer.
The northbound lane of MLK Boulevard near Estes Drive is now closed. Now, this is the section of the road that's between the YMCA, where I'm standing right now, and a little bit further down the road, the Shadowwood apartment complex. This lane is closing as crews work on a new sidewalk to increase pedestrian safety. There's been at least one pedestrian accident here over the past few years. Two teenagers were hit at this intersection on New Year's Eve back in 2021. Town leaders are organizing road safety initiatives to prevent situations like this one.
We know that speeding is a concern on MLK. A lot of our police department's speed enforcement efforts focus on that area.
And as parents are preparing to take their students to school next week, the town is asking for them to account for a little bit of extra time in their morning commute, as this could impact traffic. And if you use the bus stop that's here at the Y, that bus stop is now going to be moved to the Airport Road crosswalk. This closure is expected to last 3 months. Kelsey Coffey, WRL News in Chapel Hill.
Raleigh police have charged a man caught on camera lighting on fire a sign expressing support for Donald Trump. Police say James White is charged with a misdemeanor, damage to real property. Charges were filed after Nest home surveillance videos were posted to social media. One shows a bicyclist leaning over the Trump 1 sign before sunrise on August 15th with a lighter. The sign was in the yard of John Kane Jr.'s home. Kane is the son of a prominent Triangle developer and has replaced that sign. Still to come this noon, pet turtle owners beware. The CDC says the source of a salmonella outbreak is from small turtles. What to do to protect yourself?
And people are trying to get rid of recall baby products on Facebook Marketplace. What the government's trying to do to stop these sales that can be dangerous to unknowing families.
Health experts are advising high-risk individuals and their caretakers to mask up following a recent uptick of COVID-19 hospitalizations. The CDC doesn't have a broad policy for adopting masks. The agency does recommend universal masking where the virus is at high levels, but nowhere in the country has reached that threshold yet. The CDC has linked an outbreak of salmonella cases across 11 states, including North Carolina, to small turtles. Now the agency is issuing safety instructions for people who have turtles as pets. Don't kiss or snuggle with your turtle. Don't buy turtles for children under 5 years old or adults over 65. Wash your hands after touching a turtle. And don't drink or eat around your turtle. 26 people have been made sick, and at least 9 of them have been hospitalized. No deaths have been reported.
We are in week 4 of this year's Clear the Shelters event. Today's shelter spotlight is Orange County Animal Services. Meet Keanu. Yeah, like Keanu Reeves. This Keanu, though, could be your next favorite companion. He's black and white and sweet all over and more than ready to find his forever home. And that's not all. This Saturday, August 26th, is our annual Day of event. The 7 shelters you see on your screen are offering specials and waiving adoption fees so that you can adopt your next furry friend. On-site visitors are welcome, and Kat Campbell and Chris Lovingood will be taking you inside to help us all clear the shelters.
Washington lawmakers put Facebook on notice, the major concern the bipartisan group says it found with the social media site's marketplace.
Plus, changes are coming to the area surrounding the famed Hollywood sign, how the city council hopes to improve safety. A group of bipartisan lawmakers claims Meta is allowing people to sell recall baby products on Facebook Marketplace. They sent a letter to CEO Mark Zuckerberg pointing to products that have allegedly caused dozens of babies' injuries and deaths. The lawmakers say Facebook's parent company has not responded to thousands of federal requests to take down listings of recalled items. The Consumer Product Safety Commission says the burden should not be on the consumer to figure out if a product has been recalled.
More and more tourists are traveling along the residential streets to get up-close views of the iconic Hollywood sign. Now the city of Los Angeles City Council is taking steps to keep the area around it safe. Leaders approved a request for a permanent replacement to temporary fencing around the hillside streets leading up to the sign. Council also unanimously approved a request to install a traffic roundabout to increase safety.
Serena Williams and her husband welcomed their second daughter, sharing the announcement on TikTok. The video begins with the couple and big sister Olympia sitting at a table. Serena walks out of the frame and then returns with Adira River. The announcement also included beautiful pictures of the family of four. Serena's husband, Alexis, gushes over the three women in his life on the platform X. He writes that he feels grateful and that both mama and newborn girl are happy and healthy. Oh, you may remember when Serena said she wanted to step away from tennis. One reason was to grow her family, and look at that now.
They do look happy, I can tell you that, and healthy. Elizabeth Gardner is over in the WRS Severe Weather Center for us right now. Another look at Franklin here. This looks terrible over land right there right now.
It does, but the winds have really started to diminish. Winds are at 40 miles per hour, but again, the big issue with this one is going to be the amount of rain, and you can see all the convection. There's more convection where you see the reds or the dark reds. That means that's where the rain is heaviest, and we're definitely seeing a lot of that in the Dominican Republic right now. Some of that in Haiti as well, but right in the middle and the eastern side of the island is going to see the heaviest rain. This is a look at what the rainfall potential has looked like. So easily 6 to 10 inches in some places, some isolated 15-inch rainfall totals. And I feel like, especially as we get into the day tomorrow, the storm has moved out. We'll get a better idea of how much flooding and how much damage has happened here. Well, watch the path of this storm. This one we're going to check in on daily for really almost the next week. You can see here at 8 a.m. on Monday, it's a Category 2 storm. At this point, North Carolina is not in the fan. Bermuda is. It's taking sort of that left turn a little bit. But as we take a look at our American model, the European model, we've been watching those models for the last couple of days as they've picked up this system, and they consistently keep it offshore from North Carolina. So, again, something to watch closely because it will be a few hundred miles offshore. But at this point, it doesn't look like it's going to make landfall. Now, anything can happen in the next week as we watch this, but we'll take a look here. This is a look at the American model, and you can see here's Bermuda. Here's the center of the storm, and it just stays offshore and maybe even continues to push off to the east. Still, we're going to see some impacts from the storm. We'll see high rip current danger. That will start late in the weekend and continue into the early part of next week. So again, pretty much the entire coast, the entire east coast will see increased rip current danger as that system is out there. And wave heights too. The orange there in the middle of the red is 15 feet. And we're not going to see any of that close to shore, but we could see 6 to 8 foot seas offshore. And of course, that means some erosion to the beaches, especially along the Outer Banks, and possibly some overwash of Highway 12. And again, that's going to start late this weekend, continue into early next week. The system here hasn't changed much. It's off the coast of Africa with a 40% chance of developing. But this one got a bit of an upgrade this morning to a 70% chance of developing. It looks like it is headed due north. There are the computer model plots with that, so it does not look like it will have an impact on land, but it could get a name. We take a live look at what's happening across our viewing area right now. Lots and lots of sunshine. Just a beautiful afternoon. 87 Raleigh, 85 Durham, 88 in Fayetteville with a nice low dew point, so it feels very pleasant. By the time we get to Friday, we're looking at an increase in our chance for showers and thunderstorms. There's a level one risk for severe storms on Friday late in the day in the northern half of the viewing area, and we have a 40% chance of some more showers and thunderstorms on Saturday and Sunday. We have a big roller coaster ride with our temperatures ahead. Like we talked about earlier in the newscast, 99 degrees on Friday. That would tie the previous record, and the heat index will easily be well into the 100s, maybe 104, 105 or higher. But then we get into early next week. For kids heading back to school, the temperatures look much more pleasant.
Quite the roller coaster. Babies are crawling to the finish line at a Pennsylvania fair. When we come back, we'll tell you who took home the win in the first baby race.
And here are the winning Mega Millions numbers. 1, 12, 26, 36, 50. The Mega Ball is 7. The Mega Plier is 2.
As we wrap things up, here's a look at a few of the headlines we're following today. An American Airlines flight had to make an emergency landing at RDU this morning.
The airline told WREL the plane had a possible mechanical issue. The flight was going from D.C. to Orlando when it got diverted to Raleigh. The plane landed safely at RDU.
North Carolina's Freedom Park is now open. The park sits right between the legislative building and the governor's mansion, just off East Lane Street and Wilmington Street. This morning, there was a ribbon-cutting ceremony to celebrate the opening. Governor Roy Cooper says he hopes the park serves as an inspiration to everyone who visits.
A new survey from AAA shows many drivers need to brush up on how they treat school zones. 47% of those polled admitted to speeding in an active school zone. Almost a third said they use their handheld cell phone while driving in an active school zone. 13% of drivers in North Carolina admit that they've driven around a stopped bus.
The NBA fined Philadelphia 76ers player James Harden $100,000 for what it's calling a violation of public trade demands. The fine comes after Harden publicly indicated he would not perform under contract unless a trade was approved. The league confirmed the 76ers would not accommodate the trade request. The players' union says it disagrees with the league's decision to discipline Harden. The union is expected to bring the issue before an arbitrator. Las Vegas Aces star Asia Wilson is now tied for most points scored in a WNBA game. South Carolina native erupted for 53 points last night against the Atlanta Dream. Wilson matches Liz Cambage's 53 points she scored for the Dallas Wings in 2018.
Funko Pop figurines can now be customized to look just like you. The company is letting fans create their own little doll in their image, or you can make a figurine to look like someone else and send it to them as a gift. The creation process will let you pick from millions of customizations on the Funko site. Each retails for $30. It is being dubbed as the cutest race ever between the youngest of competitors at a fair in Pennsylvania. Babies between 6 months to 1 year attempted to crawl their way to the finish line at Elizabethtown Fair's first baby race. Moms and dads, armed with gadgets and toys, coached them to the finish line. 10-month-old Althea Ruoff took first place and crawled home with a $200 prize. In the end, they were all winners, at least when it came to being the cutest.
We have two very special girls looking for their forever homes today. Estelle is on the left. Marmalade is on the right. They are very shy upon first meetings, so their adoptive family will have to be just a little patient with them. That patience will be greatly rewarded when Marmalade turns into an enthusiastic love bug, and Estelle will chat with you all day long. These two friends are bonded and must be adopted together. They are looking for a quiet home free from children or other pets. Why not fill out an application so you can meet them in person at Cat Angels in Cary?
NBC News Daily is next on WREL. Your next local news update in 30 minutes.
Yeah, you can get some great time outside today while the temperature stays cool. And you can also get breaking news updates anytime with our WREL News app.
We hope you have a great day.
Watching WREL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.